Romans chapter 7. Biblical exposition. Live the life of faith by faith in the righteousness of God. Romans 7 is one of the paragraphs where the Apostle Paul deeply explains the relationship between the law, sin, and Christ. The text teaches how the old man, who was bound to the law, was put to death through the body of Christ. It also shows the way for the saints to newly unite with the resurrected Christ and serve in the newness of the Spirit. At the same time, while honestly diagnosing the conflict between the mind and the flesh that occurs daily even in the saints who have received the removal of sins, it clearly reveals that the one who delivers us from the body of death is only our Lord Jesus Christ. From the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, this chapter is a spiritual diagnosis and prescription that shows the holiness of the law, the limits of man, and the work Christ accomplished once and for all in a single flow. The law has dominion over a man only as long as he lives. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. After teaching in chapter 6 about the faith of the saints who died together with Christ and were made alive together with him, the Apostle Paul reaches chapter 7 and explains that faith again in relation to the law. The address, those who know the law, in verse 1, is a calling to saints of Jewish descent and all saints who acknowledge the authority of the law. The word, do you not know that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? Means that the power of the law that condemns a sinner is effective only as long as that person is alive under sin. If that person dies, the power of the law can no longer call him to account. Paul explains this truth through the parable of a married couple. If a wife unites with another man while her husband is alive, she is considered an adulterous woman. But once the husband dies, the wife is released from that marriage law. So even if she marries another man, she is not branded as an adulterous woman. In this parable, the husband refers to the law, and the wife refers to our old man who is bound under the law. Our old nature, which was under the law, was bound to sin and death, and as a result, had no choice but to bear the fruit of death. However, when our old man died together with Christ, the law no longer has grounds to condemn us. When viewed under the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, this word becomes even clearer. Jesus took over the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, shed his blood on the cross, resurrected from death, and became our Savior. The Lord was baptized by John, took over the sins of the world, was crucified, and resurrected 3 days after his death to become the Savior of those who believe. To the saints who believe in the baptism Jesus received from John, his death on the cross and his resurrection as a single work, the fact that the old man was already put to death together with Christ is applied. Therefore, in verses 1 to 3, Paul first clearly reveals the fact that the law can no longer exercise its condemning power over the saints. Put to death to the law through the body of Christ. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Romans chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. Verse 4 is the conclusion that directly applies the parable of verses 1 to 3 to the saints. The declaration, "You also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ," makes it clear that the saints did not escape from the law by their own effort or determination, but were put to death to the law through the work Jesus Christ accomplished with his body. This is because the judgment of sin that we were supposed to receive was accomplished once and for all within the death Christ received with his body. Because Jesus had the sins of all humanity transferred to his own body within the baptism he received from John the Baptist, and because he shed his blood on the cross and resurrected from death, he has now become our Savior. We could be saved by the faith that believes in the baptism Jesus received from John, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. Now we have become those who are put to death to the law in union with Christ. This death does not only mean the termination of sin. As the word says, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. The saints now belong to Christ, who resurrected from death, and have become those who are saved by believing that he took over the sins of the world through the baptism he received and became our Savior through his death on the cross and resurrection. The fruit of death that was born under the old husband, the law, has ended, and a life of bearing the fruit of new life in a new union of faith with Christ, who resurrected from death, has begun. Verse 5 makes us look back at our old man. The statement, "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death," teaches that the more a sinner under the law heard the commands of the law, the more the sinful passions were revealed, leading to bearing the fruit of death. The law was not used as a power to eliminate sin, but to let us know how strongly it reveals the sin within a person. Verse 6 is the declaration of a new status. "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." Here, the newness of the Spirit refers to the new life sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is, the service of the new man, born again by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The oldness of the letter means the religiosity that tried to keep the law of God by deeds, following only the letters of the law. The saint is no longer a slave who is bound by the letters of the law and receives condemnation, but a person who lives by the faith that believes in the work of Jesus, baptism, death on the cross, and resurrection. The law is not sin, but a holy mirror that reveals sin. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin, except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness, unless the law had said, You shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once, without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Paul immediately tries to prevent an expected misunderstanding. Is the law sin? Certainly not. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Because the state of a sinner under the law was explained in connection with death in the previous paragraph, there was a risk that the law itself might be misunderstood as evil. Therefore, Paul clearly reveals the original nature of the law. The law is not sin, but a holy mirror that reveals sin, and it is the righteous teaching of God. The confession, I would not have known sin except through the law. Romans chapter 7, verse 7, shows the first function of the law. If there had been no command of the Ten Commandments saying you shall not covet, the covetousness of the heart would not have been recognized as sin. The heart that covets a neighbor's possessions would merely have been considered a natural human nature, and would not have been perceived as a crime before God. The law enters deep into a person's heart and defines even the smallest movement of fleshly desire as sin. Verses 8 to 9 describe the reaction that occurs in front of that mirror. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Romans chapter 7, verse 8. Before the command of the law was revealed, sin lay dormant as if dead. But the moment the commandment orders, do not, it rather awakens and, taking the commandment as an opportunity, arouses more diverse desires. This is a serious picture showing how crooked human nature is. The confession, I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Romans chapter 7, verse 9, is a confession that the ignorant peace before the law came was not true life, but a temporary peace enjoyed without knowing that one was under death. The words verses 10 to 11, and the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me, are not pointing out a fault in the law itself. This word reveals the cunningness of sin lurking within a person. Sin is a cunning force that uses even holy commandments to expose a person under condemnation and death. Therefore, verse 12 clearly reveals the holiness of the law. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. It is not the law that brought a person to death, but sin that revealed the sinful true nature of a person through the law. Under the light of the gospel of the water and the spirit, the law fulfills the mission of a tutor that brings sinners to Christ. Only the person who has accurately seen their sin and the situation of inevitably receiving death in front of the mirror of the law will truly believe and rely on the Lord, who took over the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John the Baptist, was crucified, shed his blood, and resurrected from death. The law is not abolished, and for the saints, it works as the gospel of salvation that breaks their own righteousness and makes them rely on the righteousness of Christ. God's law that reveals sin. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Romans chapter 7, verse 13. Verse 13 is the core verse that summarizes the contents from verses 7 to 12 in a single word. The firm denial. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, teaches that the goodness of the law and the condemnation brought upon a sinner do not contradict each other. The law plays the role of revealing the sin within a person's nature, making the true identity of sin clearly known. The expression, that it might appear sin, refers to the work of revealing the true nature of sin that had been hidden. Until the law comes, a person lives considering their desires as merely natural instincts. However, when standing before the holy commandment, it clearly reveals that the desire is a sin before God and a sin that goes against God. The word, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful, means that the law plays a holy role in more clearly revealing the seriousness and sinfulness that sin originally possesses. This single verse clearly shows why the gospel of the water and the Spirit is desperately needed. When sin is revealed to be exceedingly sinful, a person comes to acknowledge the fact that they cannot resolve that sin through their own effort or religiosity. Right at that place, a person comes to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior who took over their sins once and for all within the baptism he received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and who now gives salvation to those who believe by shedding his blood on the cross and resurrecting from death. The wretched self-diagnosis of a person who is carnal and sold under sin. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If, then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. Verses 14 to 20 are a self-diagnosis in which the Apostle Paul reveals his inner self most honestly. This is an honest confession that can only be made by a person who acknowledges both the holiness of the law and the weakness of their own flesh. The confession: for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, shows that Paul is not wretched because he rejects the law. Rather, it shows the paradox that because he accepts the spiritual light of the law head on, the weakness and sinfulness of his flesh are revealed more clearly. The word, "for what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do," Romans chapter 7, verse 15, means that he fails to do the good he wants, and instead does the evil he hates. This shows the inner conflict that all saints experience every day. With the mind, one wants to follow God's righteous will, but the desires and impulses arising in the flesh frequently go against God's will. Verse 16, "I agree with the law, that it is good," is an insight that the conflict itself rather proves the goodness of the law. For if the law were not good, a person would not feel shame or reproach for their actions. The expression in verses 17 and 20, "but now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Romans chapter 7, verse 17, is a word in which the Apostle Paul theologically distinguishes and explains the operation of the saint's new nature and the old flesh. For the saint who has been justified, sin no longer remains as an essential status. However, the habits of lust remaining in the old flesh are still active. The statement in verse 18, "for I know that in me," that is, in my flesh, "nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find," is a confession of spiritual inability, meaning that one cannot reach holiness by their own righteousness or determination. From the perspective of the gospel of the water and the spirit, this paragraph teaches the fact that even justified saints must rely on the righteousness of Christ every day. A saint is a being who must acknowledge the weakness of their own flesh every day, even after being born again. A saint is a person who honestly acknowledges their shortcomings before the mirror of the law every day, and holds on to the fact by faith again that their sin was completely resolved once and for all within the ministry of Jesus, baptism, cross, and resurrection. Whenever the desires remaining in the old flesh arise, the saint must hold on to the new status of having died together and lived together with Christ by faith. The way to overcome that desire lies precisely in relying on this new status by faith. The continuous battle between the law of the mind, the law of the spirit, and the law of the members. "I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. In this paragraph, Paul clearly distinguishes two laws operating within the saint. First is, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." Romans chapter 7, verse 22. This refers to the spiritual nature of the born-again new man, loving the righteousness of God. Second is, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. This refers to the pull of lust arising from the habits of the old flesh. The realization that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good. Romans chapter 7, verse 21. Is not frustration but an honest diagnosis. The saint does not turn away from the fact that despite being born again, the habits of old desires remaining in the flesh are still active. The expression, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members, shows that even a born-again person cannot overcome that desire by their own will or determination alone. A person who does not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit can fall into two wrong paths in the face of this battle. One side is the path of denying the weakness of their own flesh, confidently saying, "Since I am born again, sin can no longer affect me." The other side is the path of falling into despair, thinking, "Since I continue to fail even after fighting like this, my being born again is also a lie." Both of these paths are errors that occur when one does not know the fact that the law reveals the saint's sin, and the righteousness of Christ holds the saint. The true message of this paragraph is the fact that the conflict itself, the mind delighting in the law and hating the law of sin, occurs in a born-again saint. For a person who is not born again, there is no law of the new mind that hates sin and delights in the law of God. The collision between the law of the mind and the law of the members is evidence that the new man, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, is already active. This conflict acts as a means to make the saint rely more deeply on the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which Jesus accomplished once and for all. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who delivered us from the body of death. O wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. At the end of the deep conflict throughout Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul makes a desperate lamentation. O wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Romans chapter 7, verse 24. This cry is a sincere outcry that can only be made by a person who has looked at themselves honestly before the mirror of the law. Only a person who has realized that they have absolutely no grounds to boast of their own righteousness can cry out like this. The despairing lamentation of verse 24 immediately turns into thanksgiving and joy in verse 25. I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer to who can deliver us from the body of death is not one's own determination, nor the effort to keep the law more strictly, nor religious zeal. It is only our Lord Jesus Christ. Within this single verse, the core of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is contained. Jesus personally put on a human body and came to this earth to deliver sinners, who are under the body of death, from sin. Jesus had the sins of the world transferred onto his own body through the baptism he received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River. And, bearing those transferred sins of the world, He hung on the cross, shed his blood, and died, thereby completely bearing the wages of sin and wiping them out. Also, by resurrecting, on the third day after his death, he delivered us from death and allowed us to obtain new life by faith. The ministry of Jesus, baptism, death on the cross, and resurrection is precisely the answer of verse 25 to the lamentation of verse 24. The final verse honestly summarizes the two realities within the saint. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. A born-again person delights in the law of God with their mind and follows the righteousness of God, but the inclination to follow the law of sin still remains in the old flesh. Only a person who honestly acknowledges this inner conflict without turning away from it lives by relying on the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which Jesus Christ accomplished once and for all. By faith, every moment. Therefore, the wretched cry of chapter 7 naturally leads to the victorious declaration of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The core message conveyed by the text. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 25, is a paragraph that shows the relationship between the law, Christ, and the saint in one large flow. A sinner under the law had no choice but to reach death under the condemnation of the law, but through the ministry of the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, our old man was put to death to the law, once and for all together with Christ. Now, the saint belongs to the resurrected Christ and has a new status to bear the fruit of righteousness for God. The law is not abolished, but remains as a holy mirror reflecting the saint's own shortcomings, guiding them to newly rely on the righteousness of Christ every day. The latter half of Romans chapter 7 honestly shows the inner conflict that occurs in the daily life of a saint. With the mind, one delights in the law of God, but in the flesh, the law of sin is still active. The path of the saint is to not turn away from this inner conflict or cover it with false peace, but to renew their faith again before the gospel of the water and the Spirit with the honest outcry, "O wretched man that I am, by one's own righteousness, one cannot be delivered from the body of death," and only the ministry that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished through his baptism, cross, and resurrection delivers this wretched person. This text is the most honest answer, showing how a person who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit should live. It is not a faith that stops exactly as it is after being born again once, but a life of honestly acknowledging one's own sin and weakness before the mirror of the law every day, and newly relying on the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which Jesus accomplished once and for all, by faith every day. This is precisely the life of faith that serves God in the newness of the Spirit.